Anyway, so I've been given the task of explaining the entire Old Testament to you today.
Yeah. Okay.
So, fasten your seatbelts.
All right, bro. Okay?
I got to tell you, I had to edit this quite a bit, and I have no idea how long this is going to be.
All right.
Okay?
Well,
but, let's see. All right, something is not right here. All right, so anyway, we can get started. Okay, we'll figure all that out. But what, you know, have you ever heard someone say, hey, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, two different gods. There's this God of grace and mercy in the New Testament, and this God of vengeance, and this God of wrath in the Old Testament. Am I alone?
No,
so you've heard it, right?
Heard it.
I'm here to present to you that that is just not the case.
All right.
Okay? This is working now.
There you go. Come on.
To our story.
Love it, brother. Come on.
Okay? And there's the question I just asked, okay? See all the effort I put into this presentation for you?
Look at this.
All right.
You need it with your day job.
What I want you to know is that the Bible says this. In Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change.
Well.
Okay? So if God doesn't change, then he's the same God in the New Testament that he was in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So either he's a God of wrath or he's a God of love.
Well.
Right? So which one is it? Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 1 that Jesus is the exact representation of God, or he is the exact representation of God, meaning he is just like God.
Yeah.
Later, in Hebrews 13, it says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Right.
Jesus and God, they're the same. They don't change.
Come on, Tom.
Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you this real quick, because I think that, here are my notes. There's lots of them, right? This could go long. And so, at the same time, I put most of the scriptures in here.
Okay?
And I've seen some people taking pictures. All of my notes are in here, too. Okay? That's kind of how I do things. All right? And so feel free to take pictures and ruminate on this later, kind of put it in the crock pot and stew on it a little bit later and learn for your own benefit.
Come on, Tom.
Feel free to do that. Okay? So, all right, I'm going to tell you a story. Now, it's a story that some of you who were with me back in the teen ministry days may have heard before. Okay? And in it, I'm going to present a scenario and ask people to answer two questions. How do you feel and what are you going to do?
Okay.
Okay? And so if you happen to know this story, I'm going to ask you to kind of not say anything and let other people who aren't familiar with this story respond. Is that reasonable?
Yep.
Okay. Sky is here. Sky is so encouraging.
That's right.
Okay, did you guys know that?
Yeah. She is.
She just smiles and it makes me happy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I've embarrassed her and I didn't mean to do that, but there it is. Okay, so here's our story. All right? So I want you to imagine, and sometimes you're going to have to use a lot of imagination for this, but I want you to imagine that you are a very wealthy man. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know. I get it. But I'm asking you to use your imagination. And in this story, you find this woman who is very sick and is very poor, and you sort of help her regain her health.
Okay.
Okay? And over time, you fall in love with this woman, and then you marry her. And life is good, you and your wife.
Yeah.
Okay? It's really good. Everything is happy. And then the two of you are expecting a child. Okay? You're gonna have a baby.
It's a baby.
And so you have a baby. And it's a boy. Okay?
Nice.
And life continues, and the three of you are very happy. Life is awesome. And then your wife is pregnant again.
Round two.
But here's what you find out. You learn that this child is not yours.
Oh.
Oh.
Worst one.
Okay? This one is not yours. So I will take it. Okay. And I can tell by the response that some of you feel something.
Right.
Okay. We can't take more than two or three responses, but answer these questions. How do you feel and what are you going to do? Will, how do you feel?
I will feel betrayed.
Betrayed. Okay. What are you going to do?
I'm going to follow you if the child is going to leave me. I'm still loving her because of what Jesus said. It's said in those verses to give her a chance. And if
okay.
Give her another chance, I'd like to get a second chance, and then I'll raise
okay. Okay. All right. Well, hold on. I'm going to get to you in a second. So, Will said, I would feel betrayed. How many of you would feel betrayed?
Right.
Note for those of you who listen to this later, most of the hands in the room went up. Okay? Now, Will says, but I would give her another chance. Okay. Good. Will might be a better person than me. Okay? All right. So, all right. And Alex, what do you think? How do you feel?
Like, I loved you when you were poor and sick, and then you're gonna do this to me? Like, what the heck? I feel
okay.
Angry.
Angry? How many of you are angry?
That's right.
Okay. Again, almost every hand went up. So most of us are angry, feel betrayed. Any other emotions out there?
Insecure.
Insecure. Okay, that's, yeah, I can see that. What's wrong with me? Why don't you love me? Okay, I get that. Oh, Alex, what are you gonna do?
What?
What are you gonna do? You didn't answer that one.
Oh, I don't even
know. Okay, all right, well, yeah.
Abandoned.
Okay, and what are you going to do? Don't know yet. Okay. All right. How many of you would say, that's it, it's over? Anybody? Okay. All right. Note that some hands went up, but not all the hands went up. Okay. All right, so back to our story. Now, I'm going to ask you to continue using your imagination. And so she has the child. The child is not yours. It's a girl. And so now there are four of you in the family. And we're going to imagine, because we're good people, that even though this child we know is not ours, we're going to raise it as our own. Okay? And time goes by, and things seem to be going well. But, and it turns out that your wife gets pregnant a third time.
Okay?
And what you find out is this one's not yours either.
Oh!
All right? This one. So, all right.
Hold up.
Hold up. Rein it in, everybody. Rein it in. Okay. So she's been unfaithful at least twice.
Right.
How do you feel, and what are you going to do? Let's have different people share this time. How do you feel? Josh?
I feel betrayed, and I'll probably call Larry Craig for advice.
Okay. All right. That's a good direction to go. All right. All right. How many of you, because most of us, almost every hand went up the first time we felt betrayed. So now we're like doubly betrayed, right?
Right.
I trusted you, and I brought you back in. I didn't have to do that. And you have betrayed me again. How many of you kind of feel that way?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Okay. Any other feelings? Stupid, okay.
Yeah.
I feel stupid. And what would you do?
I would probably leave it after.
Probably, yeah. Okay. How many of you now at this point, it's over?
Yeah.
Okay. Now some of us are hands up the first time. Okay. Alright. And now there are a lot more hands. Not everybody, but still a lot more hands. Okay. But because we're using our imagination, okay, you decide. To bring her back into your home again.
Right.
After she betrayed you two times. Two times. Okay. If you have another child. Okay. Okay. Rein it in, everyone. Rein it in. Okay. All right. All right. So she has a child. It's a boy. Right. And out of the goodness of your heart, because again, we're good people. Right. You're going to raise this child as though it were your own. Even though you know it's not.
Right.
Okay? And things seem to be going okay for a while.
No.
But then, one day, you're driving your car. Okay? You're driving your car in the city, and you drive along, and you see a group of prostitutes.
Oh, no.
And out of the corner of your eye, you look and you think, you know, that one kind of looks like my wife.
Oh!
And so you slow down. And kind of out of the corner of your eye, you look over there. You don't want to look, right? But it's like you have to. And you realize it is your life.
Wow.
Okay. How do you feel? And what are you going to do? Keep driving. But what do you mean? For those of you who didn't hear, Skye said keep driving. Now, I have a question for Skye. Do you mean you're just going to keep driving down the road, or you're going to kind of swerve that way?
Swerve as far away as I possibly can.
Okay. You're leaving. Okay. All right.
Baby, you cheat.
You would feel ashamed. Okay. Okay. Ashamed. Who feels ashamed now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What would you do, John? What would you do?
I would cry.
Okay. All right. Jasmine? You would. Okay. Hold on. I want to make sure everybody understands you. You're beyond it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not self-selecting.
Like, at this point, it makes sense. Okay. Okay. All right. If you didn't hear, Jasmine says, okay, I'm numb, right? Is that what you're saying, Jasmine? I'm numb to this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm numb. I'm taking my kid. I'm taking her kids. It's over, right? All right. Yes.
So I'm like sad and confused.
Sad and confused, okay.
A rich man?
Yeah. Excellent question.
Yep.
Did you hear that question? What are you looking for? I've given you everything you need. So why would she be out there on the street? She doesn't need the money.
Oh.
She just loves the sin. Right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So how many of you think, because I got to be honest, I'd be tempted to just take the car right over there. Who's with me? All right. For the record, I'd say about 40% of the world would commit a felony right there. Okay?
Alright.
Okay. And I gotta be honest, I think we'd probably get off on that. Okay? Alright. Did you know this story, minus the car, is in the Bible?
Alright.
It is. Look over in Hosea. And so what I want to do tonight with you guys, okay, because remember, I'm trying to explain the entire Old Testament to you, right? I want to tell the story of the Old Testament through the lens of the book of Hosea. So Hosea chapter 1, starting at verse 2, it says, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. God says, go. I've lost my remote. Ah, thank you, thank you. Good eye. Okay. All right. God says, go find a promiscuous woman. Go find an unfaithful woman and marry her. And I am going to make you and your family an object lesson for Israel, to show Israel what they are like.
Wow.
Okay? And in this analogy, God says, Hosea, in this story, you are playing me. And your wife, the unfaithful one, is playing Israel. Okay? That's what God is saying. Okay, so it continues. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Hosea, did I read verse 3?
Yeah.
All right, verse 4. Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. And you may not have been happy with the name your parents gave you, but at least they didn't name you not loved. Okay? Because that's the handle poor Lo-Ruhamah got stuck with. Okay? Okay. For I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them not by bow, sword, or battle, but by horses and horsemen. But I, the Lord their God, will save them. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. And the Lord said, then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people. For you are not my people and I am not your God. Okay? So here are these children of unfaithfulness, and God is saying to Israel, okay, I am not your God. Okay. Let's turn over to chapter 3 now.
Come on, Tom.
Okay. Come on, Tom.
Chapter 3. So here's Gomer, had these two children by other men, not by her husband. Okay? And she's at it again. Chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her. He bought her. His wife. She's already his. But he still had to buy her.
Right.
For 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and lethic of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same toward you.
Amen.
Okay. And so, what I want to present to you tonight is this idea that this is the story of the Old Testament in a nutshell. People leaving God and God welcoming them back. And leaving again and God welcoming them back. And leaving yet again and God welcoming them back. But to understand it, we have to go all the way back to the beginning. All right, there's the stuff I forgot to show you. Okay. Anybody want to take a picture of that?
Me.
All right, make it quick.
Okay.
All right. Get out of your way, Alex.
Thank you.
You bet.
You're the best, Tom.
I do my best.
Okay. I got y'all.
All right, and then one more.
Okay. Oh, dang.
Okay, this is important. After all of the unfaithfulness, Hosea still takes her back.
Right.
After all the unfaithfulness, God still wants Israel back. I don't know if Hosea wanted her back or not, but he was obedient to God.
Yeah,
but God still wanted Israel back. Okay. So our story, also known as the story of mankind, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with the patriarchal age. Time has been broken down into ages, right? And so we're going to start with the patriarchal age from Adam to Moses. And this was a time period before the giving of the law where God spoke directly to the patriarchs. You read about it. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Isaac. He spoke to Jacob. He spoke to Joseph. Okay?
Wow.
So we'll start with Adam. And this is where the story starts, where the first time man rejects God.
Right.
I want you to think about it. What did God, what were God's instructions to Adam?
Don't eat the apple.
Don't eat that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right?
Right.
He had one thing.
He had one job. And he couldn't do it.
Right? It was inevitable that man would disobey God. But I want you to know, from the very outset, God was working and making plans to bring mankind back.
Right.
Because here's what he said in chapter 3, verse 15, okay? He says, in talking to Adam and Eve and the serpent and all of that, okay, and this is what he said. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and will strike his heel. Okay, so he's talking to Satan. Right? The serpent. And this is God's first promise to do something about man's condition.
Yeah.
Okay? Notice what he says, though. He says to the serpent, you're going to strike his heel. Right? You're going to strike his heel. Has anyone ever stepped on like a Lego or something on your heel?
Yes.
Hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he's saying, you're going to hurt him. You're going to hurt the offspring.
Right?
Right? But you know what he's going to do to you? He's going to crush your head.
Well.
Okay? And so God starts right here saying, men, women, I'm going to bring you back. From the outset. Fast forward to Noah. Okay? God says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, that he began to regret even making man. Why? Because every inclination of all of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time.
Jeez.
Jeez.
Men had become evil. Okay? I get out of your way, Alex. Okay. Now I want you to notice something. You've probably read 1 Peter 3:20 before, right? And we don't have time to look over there. But it's, you know, you think that God is using the ark to save Noah and his family from the water, right?
Right.
That's not what 1 Peter 3 says. It says that God's using the water to save Noah from the evil of the people that were alive.
Right.
And God, just time and time again, is, he's, you know, he is saving his people. Fast forward to Abraham. And Abraham, he makes a promise of redemption. Okay? Makes this promise to him like three times. Okay? He says, and through you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Okay? What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus.
Right.
And then that promise is continued through Isaac and through Jacob. And then Joseph, Genesis 37 through 50, tells his story. Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. Okay? And ends up, again, most of you probably know the story. Okay? Ends up sort of being second in command in all of Egypt. And when famine comes into the land, through Joseph, all of the sons of Israel go to Egypt. Okay? And that, for the most part, is the patriarchal age, which leads us into the Mosaic age, which goes from Moses to Jesus, in which God no longer necessarily speaks to the patriarchs directly, but he speaks to his people through the giving of the law. Okay? And so we're going to kind of focus on God and his relationship with Israel. Okay? And so in Exodus 1:8, it says, a king rises up who did not know Joseph, and then this king enslaves the Israelites. And so the Israelites live in Egypt for about 400 years, most of it in slavery. In Exodus chapter 1 through verse 12, God uses Moses to liberate the Israelites. And then in Exodus 20, God gives Moses the law. And so now there's a law that people have to go by, to live by. And so they know what sin is now. Now, an interesting thing about the law itself that God gave, the Ten Commandments and all of that, right? In Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 calls the law a schoolmaster. And that's the King James translation. The NIV that most of us read calls it a guardian. Okay? Now, I've not gotten into Greek enough. I'm trying to learn it. Okay? But I've not gotten into it enough to really get exactly what the word is supposed to say. But several translations call it teacher. Several call it tutor. Some call it guardian. But I like the King James, the schoolmaster. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified through faith. So, then if the law is a schoolmaster, what is it teaching us? It teaches us a lot, but two things in particular. It shows us God's holiness and our inability to keep the law.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and we could say that in many different ways. We could say it shows us God's worthiness and our unworthiness. God's holiness and our lack of holiness. You can say it in a number of different ways, but it teaches us that God is so beyond us, so much greater than us, so much holier than us, so much more worthy than us, and we, not for lack of trying, just can't do it. Okay? We need God. That's what the law teaches us. And there's a couple other things that I want to look at real quick. That are the scriptures of Andre. I wrote also Exodus 29. And I wasn't going to read it, but I think we should. Exodus chapter 29. Okay, there's a couple other things I want you to understand about God and how he looks at his people. Okay? Exodus chapter 29, verse 45 and 46. It says this. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt. Pay attention. So that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Why did God bring Israel out of Egypt? So that he could walk among them. So that he could be with them. So that he could have a relationship with them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, look over Deuteronomy chapter 7. There's another one that God says. Another thing that God says in Deuteronomy 7 that is really important. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, and this is not in my notes because I thought of putting it in right before I got up here. Okay? I did write it on my paper. Deuteronomy 7, 6. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people." Pay attention. His treasured possession. Okay? And so God brings them out of Israel and he says, "I want to walk with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to live with you. I want you to be my treasured possession. I'm going to feed you," right? He gave them that manna, that bread from heaven, right? And he's saying, "I want to walk with you. I want you to be my treasured possession." What were the Israelites saying? "Why do we just have to eat this bread?" Yeah. Right? God did all this stuff for them. What did they manage to do? Mostly be disobedient and complain. And a lot of them said, "Let's go back to Egypt." How do you think that made God feel? Right? Let's go. Well, how would you feel? What would you do? Right?
Yeah.
Okay? I'd be angry. Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
So, Moses dies and Joshua takes his place and the new generation rises up. And what do? They obey God. And they go off and they take the promised land. That should say takes, not tax, for the record. Okay? All right. And so they're obedient and it's awesome and they do exactly what God wants them to do and then they die. Because that's the nature of things, right? People live and they die and then another generation comes up. And so we move on into the period that we call the judges, okay? And God gives them the promised land and then they forget. Let's look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10.
Come on, Tom.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord their God of their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served the Baal and the Ashtaroths. Okay? And so this, guys, is really the story. This is the story of the Old Testament. They're obedient, and then they're disobedient. Look over in Hosea. We're going to go back to Hosea for a minute. Look in Hosea chapter 13, because it's going to give you, well, in a verse, well, the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 13.
Great stuff.
Whoops, I got ahead of myself. Okay, there. That's where I'm supposed to be. Oh, it's here. Look at that.
Yeah.
All right. It says, "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." Okay? And so this cycle starts. It goes like this. They're satisfied. And when they're satisfied, they forget God. And when they've forgotten God, they indulge in sin. What happens when they indulge in sin? They are punished. And in the midst of their punishment, what do? They remember God. And then they cry out to him. And what does God do every time? He rescues them. And so after they're rescued and they're grateful, he blesses them. And then they get blessed and they become satisfied and they repeat this whole process over again.
Wow.
Okay? That's certainly the book of Judges. And for the most part, a lot of the rest of the Old Testament too.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's what happens. I got a little chart for you. Okay?
Wow.
This is not a complete chart. Okay?
On,
there are other judges in there. But after Joshua and his generation die, the Aramites come in and then they cry out to God. And God sends Othniel to rescue them. And then they forget God. And God sends the Moabites in. And in their anguish with the Moabites, God sends Ehud in. And if you've never read the story of Ehud, let me tell you, you should read it. Okay, I don't have time to go into it. It's a lesson for a different day. Okay, but it's hilarious. Okay, then the Philistines come in. And Shamgar gets one verse in the Bible. It says that he kills like 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Anybody know what an ox goad is? It's a sharp stick. Okay? An ox goad. It's to goad oxes. It's a sharp stick. Shamgar, I don't remember Elijah the exact number, but it's like, well, look it up. It's about 600. And then
Then the Canaanites, and Deborah comes in, right? Yeah. All right, Deborah, good job.
Deborah! Woohoo!
Sorry, sounds like some Deborah fans in the house.
Okay. Yeah.
Then the Midianites, and Gideon, the Ammonites, and Jephthah, the Philistines. Okay, and it starts with Samson, then Samuel, then Saul, and then finally in the reign of David, they finally get rid of all the Philistines. Okay? And so, here's what happens. Can somebody give me some water? Is that possible? Thanks, Bill. All right. Israel decides they want a king. Okay? Samuel, they say to Samuel, your sons are not righteous. We want a king to rule over us, such as the other nations have. And Samuel goes to God and says, what am I supposed to do, God? And God says, give them what they want because they have rejected me as their king. Okay? Those were God's words. So they rejected a position as God's treasured possession so that they could be like everybody else.
Wow.
Okay? That's what they want. We want a king so we can be like everybody else. And Samuel's like, don't you understand? God wants to walk with you. He wants you to be his treasured possession. You'd rather trade that in for some king who's going to abuse you? And they said, yeah. Because then we'll be like everybody else. Okay. Kind of stupid, right?
Yeah.
All right. And so, again, I'm trying to cover the entire Old Testament here. We go through a period called the United Monarchy. And it's often called the United Monarchy, to not confuse it with the United Kingdom, which we all know is over there in Europe. Okay? Thank you. Okay. All right. And so there are three kings in the United Monarchy: Saul, David, Solomon. And they each reign for about 40 years. During David's reign, the Philistines are finally defeated. David wants to build, big difference, build a temple to God, and God says, no, have your son build it. And so Solomon built it, and during the reign of Solomon, Israel has a time of unprecedented prosperity. He's super duper wealthy. And then he dies, because that's the nature of things, right? And his son Rehoboam takes the throne. And Rehoboam is very harsh, okay? And the people come to him and say, Rehoboam, you know, your dad was really harsh. He placed heavy taxes on us. And so he talks to the elders, and the elders say, you know, you should relax this a little bit. And then he talks to his friends, and his friends say, no, no, make him suffer, basically. Paraphrase, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so he says to the Israelites, my finger's thicker than my father's waist. Okay, if he placed heavy burdens on you, I'm going to place heavier burdens on you. And then he says this, my father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions. I can't imagine tying scorpions into the end of a whip and scourging people with that, but that's what he said he would do. So not a good guy, as you can imagine. So what do? They divide the kingdom. Jeroboam leads a rebellion, and the kingdom is divided into two kingdoms. And after this, they were referred to the two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, become known as Judah, and the northern tribes, the ones that rebel, become known as Israel, the other 10 tribes, okay? And so when you read through like 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, stuff like that, you will read about, it's kind of interspersed together, Judah and Israel, okay? So let's talk about Israel for a minute. Israel, in 200 years, they had no righteous kings.
Wow.
Not one. Now they had one that was kind of righteous. His name was Jehu. And when Jehu dies, or as he's getting close to death, God's like, okay, I appreciate that you did this for me, but I'm kind of bothered that you did these other things too. And so he gets kind of a mixed review. Somewhere in there. But the rest were just evil. Okay? And so after about 200 years, God sends them off into captivity. Here are some of the prophets that God sent to Israel. Not Judah. Elijah. Elisha. Amos. Hosea. Okay, so the context that we're looking at Hosea's story, this is when and where it happens in the kingdom of Israel. Okay? And then after 200 years, God sends the Assyrians led by Shalmaneser V, and he comes in and he takes the Israelites off into Assyria, and they're in captivity again.
Yeah.
Okay? And that, in a very brief one slide, is the story of the kingdom of Israel.
Nice.
Judah, it lasts longer, to its credit, about 140 years longer. And they do have some righteous kings in Judah. Asa was a righteous king. Hezekiah was a righteous king. And he was the king in Judah when the Assyrians came into Israel. Josiah, also righteous. But after Josiah, the last four kings of Judah, all evil. The prophets that God sent to Judah were Joel, Isaiah, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Okay? And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes them into captivity in Babylon.
Sure.
So the divided kingdom's over because neither side lasted, right?
Right.
And so then the Bible talks about a period of captivity. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4 to 14, Judah is going to be taken into captivity, but God promises 70 years, and I will bring you back. Now, I want to look in Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a scripture a lot of us are familiar with, right?
Yeah.
Let's read it together. Let's start in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon: build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, and find wives for your sons and daughters in marriage, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they may too have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. He's saying, you know what, you're going to be carried off into captivity, settle down and enjoy it, because you're going to be there a while.
Right.
So verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they encourage you to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Okay, he said, look, you're going to have people that are going to tell you, we're not going to be taken off into this captivity. Don't listen to them. I'm telling you, you are, and I'm God. Okay? Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You guys could be quoting this, many of you, right?
Yeah.
Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity.
Come on.
I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Yeah.
Understand, this verse that we look at all the time for encouragement, God believes in you. What's the context?
Right.
The context is, I'm about to send you into captivity because of your sin.
Right.
But I believe in you.
Right.
I have plans for you. Okay? I have plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That puts those verses that we love so much in a completely different light, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's all within the light of, you are a sinful people, but I still love you. Okay? All right. And so, they're carried off into captivity. Judah goes into the Babylonian captivity. Later, Babylon is conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire.
Right.
Okay? And Cyrus, the king of Persia, as prophesied, 70 years later, allows Israel to return.
Wow.
Now, who are the prophets of the captivity? For part of Jeremiah and the book of Daniel, those are the prophets of the captivity. Because my hope is that, you know, you'll be able to kind of, in your mind, tie all this stuff together, right? So what happens after the captivity? They go back. And so after that is the return, what we call the post-exilic period, or the post-exile. And they go back in waves. The first wave is led by Zerubbabel. At least I think that's how that's pronounced, okay? Zerubbabel. The Israelites are allowed to return to Jerusalem. And Haggai, the prophet, rebuilds the temple. The second wave and then Esther, between the first wave and the second wave, Esther is the queen of Persia. Okay? Yes, she is. Okay. Ezra leads a second return, and when he goes back, he finds the people are not living very righteously, and he leads them into reform. And then Nehemiah leads a third return to rebuild the walls. So there are several post-exilic prophets as well, prophesying during the time after the return from exile, like Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi.
Nice.
Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm sort of bringing this in for a landing, sort of. So I want to go back to Hosea and look at some things that Hosea says. Okay? Hosea chapter 11.
With you, Tom.
I appreciate it. Okay. Oh, I don't even have
those. So I guess I'll just have to use this.
Hosea chapter 11. And I'm going to read this to you, but I've highlighted some of the things up here that I want to make sure you notice. All right. 11:1. It says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me.
Wow.
They sacrificed to the Baals. They burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. I'm going to pause there. Okay, because I'm going to talk about the image that God is putting out here. The image of a father and a son or a daughter, right? Now, to this point, it's mostly been God the husband, Israel the wife. And now, it's a different image. God the father, Israel the child. And he talks about leading the child around, holding the hands, and helping them learn to walk.
Right.
Now, most of you in the room are not parents yet, okay? But there are parents in the room, so they can identify with this. And how awesome it is as your children are taking those first steps and you're guiding them and leading them. Maybe you've done that with a small child at some point in your life. Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. All right. I know I come across as this big, tough guy, right? Right? But I love holding babies. I really do.
All right, Tom.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay? And that whole thing, and I'm going to tell you a quick Caleb story, all right? I have his permission to share this.
Give it to us, son.
Okay. When Caleb was, small and wasn't yet walking on his own, because you know how it is, they'll pull themselves up, kind of stand there on the furniture, right, and hold themselves up, but then when they pull away from that, they fall down, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where he was at. One day, the three of us were on the couch, and for reasons that I don't remember, I gave Wendy $2, okay? Two American dollars, right? All right, and Caleb gets off the couch, grabs the $2, takes one in each hand, and takes out across the living room like that. Now,
bye-bye.
That is a precious memory to me. Okay, Caleb doesn't remember it, except that we've told him that all the time. Okay, but for us, that's one of my favorite memories. Those $2 flying up in the air like this, it was awesome. Okay, and that's what God is saying to Israel. Oh, remember those first steps when you kept falling down, right?
Oh, wow.
I love you guys so much, he's saying. But you kept turning away from me. You kept following the Baals. Okay, turn the page. Well, no, you may not have to, but I do. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. Listen to this. This is beautiful stuff. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek and bent down to feed. I took care of your every need.
Yeah.
Will they not return to Egypt? Will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities and will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. But listen. How can I give you up, Ephraim? Ephraim is just another name for Israel. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over to Jerusalem? How can I treat you like Adam? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart has changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man. The Holy One among you, I will not come against those cities. You know, God is saying, well, at this point, 700 years of wrongdoing against God. And God is still saying, I love you guys so much. I just want to walk with you. I just want to hold you as my treasured possession. But you just won't let me. Okay. So let's go back a little. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. God is trying and trying and trying, right? To get Israel to walk with him. He just won't. And so in this story, in his comparison, what does he have to do? What does Hosea have to do? In verse 2, okay? It says, well, verse 1, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. That's Israel. They love these other gods. They are the adulteress, right? Love her as the Lord has loved the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her. Okay. Yes. So I bought her. I want to focus on that for a minute. Can you think of another time in the Bible where someone had to buy someone else out of their sin?
Jesus.
There you go. Jesus. Because, you know, remember the story we started with? The reality, guys, we're not the husband. We're the wife.
Right.
Right? Remember that anger we felt? Okay? Because the reality is, God's the good husband, and we're the unfaithful wife.
Right.
And all of that anger that we felt, God deserves to feel that against us.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Mm. Right? But he wants to walk with us. He wants to hold each of us as his treasured possession. Okay? And so, the title of this lesson is Anchored to Our Story.
Right.
But we haven't been talking about us, have we?
No.
Or have we?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because their story is our story.
Yes.
And that's what I want us to realize, that God wants to walk with you. He
right.
wants to hold you as his treasured possession forever. So let's be anchored to that story.
Right.
The story of God's boundless compassion and kindness and acceptance and love.
Yep.
God accepts us for who we are. You know, the world doesn't always do that, do they? But God accepts us for who we are and wants us to help us, wants to help us and change us and make us better.
Yeah.
I appreciate that so much. That one right there. That God accepts me for who I am. And he loves me in spite of my frailties, in spite of my weaknesses. God is like that father in the prodigal son in Luke 15, right? You guys remember the story?
Yeah.
Who throws his arms wide and accepts us back every time.
Amen.
Okay, that's who God is. That's who the God of the Old Testament is. God is a God of love and mercy. Yes, he killed some people in the Old Testament. That is true. But the story is not a story of his wrath. It's a story of his love. Because they kept rejecting him and kept rejecting him. And he kept saying, please come back. I love you. I want to walk with you. I want to hold you as my treasured possession.
Yeah.
And it's the same for us. This is our story too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just be real. Okay?
Right,
I've been in October, I will have been a disciple 32 years.
Mercy.
Okay. 32 years. That's not why I shared that, but thank you. Okay. And someday you're going to hit 32. Someday, right? And I hope that you can look back on and have as much joy and happiness as I do. But also, I guarantee you there's going to be trials And there's going to be struggles that you just have to look to God for.
Right?
Right.
Right.
We all get that. But sometimes you're going to be tempted to quit. Okay? I confess, there have been times when I said, I don't think I can do this. And my guess is that I'm probably not the only one in the room.
Right.
But around this big, probably more than one of us have said, I'm tired. I don't know if I can do this. Okay. Now, I know that the two or three of you just get baptized in the last week or so. You're probably not thinking that. Okay. Someday you might.
Yeah.
Okay. There have been other times in my life where I was here, but my heart was kind of far from God.
Right.
And I was a pew filler, but in my heart, I really wasn't close to God. And I'm probably not the only one in the room that can say that.
All right, Tom.
Okay?
Been there.
And so I want you to understand that those things happen. God keeps bringing you back.
Amen.
Yeah.
But more than that, I want you to think about this. God loves you the way He's loved everybody. He loves you. He accepts you. And He's going to keep embracing you. He's going to keep saying, I want to walk with you. I want you to be my treasured possession. Mm. Why would you ever walk away from loved ones?
Great question.
And that is your Bible lesson.
Yeah. There you go, Tom.